Good morning. You're going to have to bear with me. My voice is just coming back on Wednesday. Just completely lost my voice, and so I've just been whispering to keep it for today. So there, you can hear me a little bit better. Can you hear me now? Okay. Well, sometimes, and it's interesting on a day like Veterans Day, how power and authority and protection has given us the freedom that we have. But we also, there is a fine line in this that we want to look at today in Saul's character. That sometimes our skills and abilities and our strengths and our power and the things we have going well for us makes us fall flat on our faces. Because we begin to depend on our own strength rather than the strength of our God. It's human nature. It's human nature for us to rely on the things that we can do. When we get cornered, when we get down, or we feel weak, oftentimes our nature pulls up our bootstraps and works harder being strong and doing it on our own. As human beings, we forget that we are nothing. We're nothing without God. If we look at every leader that we think of in our mind, when they fell and they did not have the Lord, they were nothing. Their kingdoms passed away. Their rule and authority passed away. They were nothing. And sometimes our weakness and failures, this is important. This is the key to the message today. Sometimes our weakness and our failures are our greatest friends because they remind us how much we need God. Sometimes our weakness and failures are our greatest friends because they remind us that we need God. Chapter 10 really is about needing God, isn't it? We need God. We need Him. We need Him every day, every hour. And without Him, we really can accomplish nothing for Him and His kingdom and the world that He set out for us. Saul was a man of strength. He was head and shoulders above the rest. He was handsome. He was strong. He fit the role of king. The Israelites wanted a king. They wanted an earthly physical king that they could touch, they could feel, they could follow. And they wanted it despite the fact that they had a king. It was God. God was their king, but they wanted to be like every other nation, and that they had a king who would fight for them, who they could follow. And the king had to look the part. And so Samuel was angry about this. He's like, wait, we have a king. He's God. Why do we need a king? Why do we need to be like every other nation? But God said, we'll give him a king. We'll give them a king. People wanted a king, and they needed a king that would lead them with strength and would lead them for God. And so Samuel anointed Saul as king. And Saul started out in humility, and it actually says in the scriptures that Saul's heart, his very heart, was changed when he was anointed as king. That the Lord came upon him in power, and his heart was changed. He knew he was God's king. And he knew what his job was and what his role was as king. But something started to happen. Something just started to happen in this story. Just ever so slightly, there became a shift as Saul got more confident as king, as he saw that the people were following him, as he received more power and authority over Israel, something started to shift in him. but it was very subtle. And it wasn't too long after Saul had crossed the line that God made very clear. He had crossed the line, and there was consequences, big consequences for what Saul did. But ever so slightly, ever so subtly, we see that Saul's heart turned from the Lord, and he started to use his power and authority and his rule and his strength, not for God, but for Saul and his kingdom. So there's this little split in the road where Saul was working for God's kingdom, and then there was another road available. And he started to see. His heart started to long for his own kingdom, for his own strength. He didn't need God. He didn't need obedience. He could make the decisions. He could do the fighting. And so he started making decisions down that road. We need a king. We all need a king. We need a king, one that knew he needed God. One that knew that God was the only way that we could move forward. We needed a king that had a heart after God's own heart. One that no matter what would follow God in his route and would fight for his kingdom, not for their own. As I approach this weekend, coming Wednesday, I was in the middle of the day and all of a sudden my voice just went out. And I thought, oh no, what are we going to do? And I had probably three, four, five people ask me, well, that's not very good. What are you going to do about Sunday? And I just kind of said, I don't know. We'll whisper. You guys can still hear me, right? That's how I was speaking all week. Hopefully it would stop me from talking. My wife says I need to talk 2/3 less. So, but it didn't really work. I talked a lot in M&O. I talked a lot in my meetings. And Tricia said, you lose your voice and you continue to talk. I said, part of my job is to talk, which, you know, it's not always good. It's not always good. So 2/3 less. I lose my voice, but really it's weakness. And I was thinking, as I lost my voice, what if I lost my voice for good? I mean, part of my job is communicating. What if I lost my voice? God is the giver of my voice. What if it was taken away? Could God still use me? Could God still use you in your weakness? That's the question Saul had. Could God still use us even though the Philistines are coming down upon us? The hour is getting late. It looks like we're going to be defeated. Can we trust God to use us even when things seem like they're going to fail and weak? So I asked myself that question, could God still use me for his work, even if I lost my voice? And he reminded me that in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. And for me, that was kind of a confession time for me of, God, where have I gotten ahead of you? Where have I made decisions or calls where I didn't wait on you? I used my own strength. Where did I speak without waiting for you first to speak and tell me what to say? When have we as a church made decisions where we didn't wait on the Lord? We went forward in our own abilities. And I'll confess you to this morning that that's something I've done. Saul did it. We all do it. It's our human nature. to not allow God to work through us and instead using our own strength. And sometimes it's even in the name of God. Like, I'm doing this in the name of God, my own strength. And that is the third commandment. Do not use the Lord's name in vain. We often think that that's more about swearing. Like when you use God's name in vain, we're saying, you know, some blasphemous word where we use Jesus' name or God's name in a wrong context. But essentially, when we move ahead in the name of God and our own strength, we are essentially, in the name of God, working for ourselves rather than for Him. It's like this. I'm going to use Paul and Cherry a lot this today, but Paul's a police officer, and he's got kids. And what if, let's just say, one of his kids got pulled over, and it was in Wabash County, and the police officer pulled him over and said, "You were speeding," but I'm Paul Carr's son. Oh, okay. Well, we're not going to give you a ticket today because we know your dad, and just slow down, and here you go. You're off the hook. Or maybe even worse, they committed a crime, and they got off because of who their dad was or in the name of their father. They're using that name and that authority for their own benefit. And that goes against the very fabric of what a police officer stands for. So you see in here, Saul does the same thing. So do Eli's sons. They're using the sacrificial system for their own benefit. They're using the Ark of the Covenant to go into battle for their own benefit. Not for God, not for His sake, but they're using it in a way that they think they can. They think they can use God's power to win and to get ahead. But each is the same thing. Each is the same thing, whether we're using our own strength or we're using God's name to move things forward. We are taking His name in vain. And this is what Saul did when he did the sacrifice. So they're up against the Philistines. And they feel like they're coming down upon them. And the instructions, the obedience that he had before him was to wait for Samuel to come to give the sacrifice so that the Lord would be with you in battle. And he doesn't do it. It says that he moves forward in force and does the sacrifice himself and doesn't wait for Samuel. Because he wants the Lord to be with him in battle. You see how it's subtle? We want the Lord to be with us, so we got to do the sacrifice, but, you know, I'm not going to quite obey what God said. I'm just going to move forward in my own strength to kind of get what I need from God to do His work. But in essence, he's taking things into his own hands. And then a little bit later, so this is where Saul's heart starts to turn. A little bit later, they're going into battle against the Amalekites. This is in the very end of the chapter 10 of the story. They're going into a battle against the Amalekites, and the Lord said, "I want you to annihilate them, to destroy them, everything." And Saul fights the battle, and he just kind of doesn't do that. He says, "Well, I'll take as king so that we can hold up the fact that we defeated them. Look at this king. We have control over this king. He's now a prisoner of war." And then he kept all the spoils, all the choice sheep, all the choice cattle, all the choice of the land. He kept it. And then this is where it's subtle. He says, "But we kept it so that we could sacrifice it to the Lord." But we can all see it. That's not why he did it. That's not why he did it. He did it to make Saul's name great, not God's name great. And so he's using God. And this is the boundary God sets up. And here we see Samuel replies, "The Lord does not delight in burnt offerings. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than that, the fat of rams." He wants our obedience. And oftentimes, our strengths and our will and our ability to make it without Him gets in the way of obeying. We try to do it on our own. Saul needed God. And he needed to know God's roles in his role as a king. A while back, actually when we started this, we put up man's roles and God's roles. You can slide to the next slide there. And this is how God set creation up. And as Saul was made king, he was responsible to put this back in place. As God's man, he was meant to put this back in place. Even though he had the authority and power as king, this is what he was supposed to. So God is the source and provider. Man is to be dependent upon the source. So Paul has authority. He was meant to rule under God's authority first. God is in control. Man, yield to control, and then also control yourselves. So as Saul would have yielded to God, then God would have given him the self-control to not go after his own desires and use his own strength for his own name. God is to be the only judge of good and evil. And man is to experience life, the good life, not to be the judge. Saul set himself up as judge. Whether God said to do this, but gosh, this isn't quite working out, so I guess I'll just judge the situation and make my own decisions. And then God made the rules. Man is to obey them. And what happened is that Saul was rejected as king. This was the consequence of his actions, which seems harsh, but it was very clear of what he was to do. Seems harsh, but when we see the heart of Saul, he did not have a heart after God's own heart. He had a heart for himself and his own kingdom. And that shift started to happen. And as it was called out, he even went further and further and further. And then he was resistant to God, rejecting him as king. So we have God's roles and man's roles. And we see Saul. Saul was standing tall. I think this is an interesting piece here. And as we got the description of what it all means, it kind of fits in really well, actually. It helped me figure out this whole, do we really want to fall on our face? When we try to do it on our own without God, we are nothing without Him, and we fall flat on our face. So these are the representative of stars. So Saul reaching for the stars. He fell on his face, which is the clock, and he became green with envy. So we've got green, different parts of green here. Under the pressure, he's got a pressure valve here. Under the pressure of life. So you and I, under the pressure of life, we tend to rely on our own strength and not the strength of God. We bury and hide our weaknesses and overcompensate for our weaknesses to try to get it done, try to do it right, try to be strong in the face of life's circumstances, and in the midst we fall flat on our face. And then we know we can look at Saul's life, we can look at Samuel's life, and we can look at Hannah's life and see that sometimes weakness and failure are the very things that remind us that we need God. We desperately need Him to come through. And if He doesn't come through, there's nothing that's going to come through. And so when we make decisions, when we walk in this life, when we're faced with the pressure of life, we're reminded that we need God every day, every hour. And without Him, we will fall flat on our face. I asked Sherry right before service to read Hannah's prayer. We go to the front of the story, right when this starts. And here's Hannah. Here's Hannah. And Hannah cries out to the Lord. Hannah knows she needs God. She's barren. She wants nothing more than to have children. She wants it so bad that she says, Lord, give me a child and I will give him back to you for your service and your glory. And God, in Hannah's prayer, lifts her up in her weakness, lifts her up, and He gives her a child that becomes Samuel, and Samuel speaks for God all the days of his life. And he is a prophet of the Lord. And he keeps their people on track. And he is the one that ends up anointing David, a man after God's own heart. And David to Jesus. So let's listen to Sherry as she reads Hannah's prayer. And listen to the fact that she knows God's roles. She knows she needs God. She understands who God is. And she understands that she is weak and God is strong.
My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. He sets them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints. But the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed.
Did you hear her prayer? In the midst of it, she said, there's no rock like our God. There's no provider that provides like he has provided for those who cry out to the Lord and know that he is strong. And in her prayer, she brings evidence of one day there will be a king. One day there will be a king, God, man. It won't be a man of flesh. It will be a man of divine nature. And he will be a king that rules justly. And he will be a king that sets things right. And he will be a king that is strong, but knows that we need God. And he is also a king that in his very weakness, he gave up his authority. And he dies on a cross. And in the midst of weakness, God raises him up in strength. Brings him back to life and sets him on the throne to rule forever. That is our king. That is the king that we need. That is the God that we need. And so this morning, I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you've been trying to go it on your own strength or you've just been gritting your teeth to try to make it through the pressures of this life. But remember that we need God. We need a king like this. We need a king that will take our weakness and our failures and our sin, and he will be sufficient in them, and he will be made perfect in them. I love this from Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And may that be our prayer, like Hannah's prayer, that we would know the role of God, and we'd know our role, and that we would trust in him to be our strength and to use us for his glory. So let us not fall on our faces and try to go this life alone. Let us submit and admit that we need God. Let's enter into a time of open worship, and as you feel the presence of the Spirit this morning, I would ask that you would begin to confess to God where you've tried to go it alone. Or you may even have used his name to move things forward. Without him, for your sake. But let it be a time where he whispers to you. In an obedience, we listen. Like Samuel says, "I'm here, I'm listening. Speak. Your servant's ears are open."